welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Ayen Dangbior in Washington. John Tanza will join us in a moment. Here are some of the stories we're covering today, Friday, April 5th, 2019. Arrests are made in Rumbek.
Those arrests are orchestrated or made by the concerned authority. And the concerned authority is the governor himself. He's the one who ordered for arrest and detention.
And South Sudanese receive free medical care paid for by the Indian Association of South Sudan.
The camp we have started today, it is with the concept that we can at least give facilities, medical facility to our sisters and brothers of South Sudan.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. An unknown number of people have been arrested in Western Lake State, including activist Arup Kumbai. A former lawmaker in the state accused Governor John Deng Mamer of ordering the arrest. Benjamin Lot Mathau says the governor has been targeting specific people, accusing them of being sympathizers of the SPLM-IO rebels.
Those arrests, actually, they are so frequent in Western Lake City here in South Sudan. If you can see it, actually, you will not pass any single day without hearing of somebody having been arrested and eventually detained.
What is so particular about this situation in Rumbek where every day you hear so-and-so has been arrested? Why are people being arrested?
Those arrests are orchestrated or they are made by the concerned authorities. And the concerned authority is the governor himself. He's the one who ordered for arrest and detention. Even Rob himself, the one you mentioned, came here on 30th of March. And then he was preparing himself to go and see his family and the relatives in Maine County. So it was yesterday. Upon going to the station where he can board a vehicle to Maine, then he was arrested from there, taken to the governor's office. It was the governor himself who pronounced the charges that you are an associate of the Fadiang Machar. You are a SLMIO member. You are coming here to Western Lake State, that is Rumbek, to mobilize people say that they joined rebellion. So he pronounced those charges to Arup in his office, and then from there he ordered for his arrest. And up to now, his whereabouts is not known to his friends and even the family members. They don't know where he has been taken. So we don't know now the whereabouts of Arup Kumbai.
There's an agreement signed between the government of South Sudan and the SPLM-IO. Why would the governor still accuse people of being members of the SPLM-IO?
We don't hear it happening in other states other than Western Lake State. Those accusations, in fact, are here only in Rumbek. And Rob himself, he came from Juba, and he has been staying in Juba for the last 3 months. And even if he were to be somebody of that kind, maybe he would have been arrested earlier in Juba. But our governor took it upon himself of accusing and arresting with eventual detention. Coming to the peace agreement, well, maybe he's not informed, or if he's informed, then he's ignorant about the revitalized peace agreement signed between our government of South Sudan and the rebels. Maybe he's not aware.
You were a member of parliament, and you know the laws better than anybody in Rumbek. Can you tell us who can arrest people in the state?
The arresting power. Well, if there is maybe say accusation, those who could arrest are the major security and military intelligence, in case there is something of that nature. But since they are not there, the accusation, so it is the governor now who took it upon himself. And in fact, he is doing that because once you have a responsible understanding with him, then he has to label you as a rebel. So the whole thing is about misunderstanding with the current governor by the name John Deng Mamer.
Tell me a little bit about your misunderstanding with him. He fired you when he was appointed a governor. The first thing he did was to fire you from the parliament. Could you tell me why you were fired from the parliament?
Well, myself, I'm not closer to him. The reason I know best is that he fired me, saying that he gave the position to a friend of his. This is what I know so far. But because I don't have any reason. Another thing, he's also labeled me as SLMIO member, and this is what he is giving to the public, that Benjamin is a SLMIO member. And this is why I fired him. These are the things he actually is actually telling the public about myself.
Does the Constitution allow the governor to fire lawmakers?
There is nothing of that nature. We don't have even an article for a governor to fire the lawmakers because we are not governor appointees. We are community elected members of parliament, because we represent the constituencies we come from. So you are elected from constituency. So there is no provision in the Constitution for the governor to fire the MPs. But that is just his own making.
If your firing is illegal, what have you done to fight back?
You know, sometimes when things of such nature happen, there's nothing you can do unless you report the case to the Council of State, which is in Juba. So I have already reported my case to the Council of State in Juba.
That's Benjamin Lott Mathau, a former member of the Western Lake State Assembly. He was speaking with my colleague John Tanza from Rumbek.
A 12-year-old boy is recovering at Pariang Hospital after undergoing an emergency surgery. Manuluak says he was assaulted by a United Nations peacekeeper from Mongolia who is stationed at Pariang. Doctors at Pariang Hospital confirmed that Monluak was brought to the hospital with a damaged spleen. Here is Monluak narrating what happened to him. We warn you that what you are about to hear is disturbing.
I went to collect grass. There was a blanket, and some boys wanted to steal it. But the boys ran away when the Mongolian peacekeeper saw them. The peacekeeper came running, and he found me. He hit me, and I fell down, and he started kicking me. I tried to run, but he kept kicking me until two people came and told him to leave me.
Manuluak says he struggled to reach home because he was very tired. Manuluak's brother took him to the hospital where doctors removed his spleen and performed emergency surgery yesterday at Pariang Hospital, operated by Care International.
At 8 p.m., I woke up and again slept by the roadside. Again, I went, sent, slept at the playground. I struggled to reach a water point. I drank some water and went home and took my mat and slept again.
Monuluak is still recovering at Pariang Hospital. South Sudan in Focus spoke to hospital employees who is not authorized to speak to the media, who told this program that Monuluak's condition has improved. Monuluak says his brother, together with doctors at the hospital, saved his life.
My brother came and took me to the police. We then went to the hospital where I was operated and I slept there.
South Sudan in Focus tried to reach Pariang State Information Minister Simon Chol for comments, but his phone could not be reached. This program also called the Pariang State Secretary General for comments, but he said he was in Juba and has no information about the incident. The UN mission in South Sudan did not confirm or deny the incident. An official at the Public Affairs Department said UNMISS would only comment after investigating the incident. Hundreds of Juba residents are receiving free medical care at a medical camp organized by the Indian Association in South Sudan. India's ambassador to South Sudan says the medical camp is intended to treat patients who can't afford to go to hospitals due to financial constraints. He says many South Sudanese suffer because there are not enough equipped medical facilities to treat people around the country. Winnie Chirino has the story for VOA from Juba.
Ravindra Prakash, who chairs the Indian Association in South Sudan, says the association hired a half a dozen Indian doctors, two gynecologists, two general surgeons, a nephrologist, and an orthopedic surgeon, and flew them all to South Sudan to diagnose and treat the sick free of charge.
This medical camp we have started today, it is with the concept that we can at least give facilities, medical facility to our sisters and brothers of South Sudan. Though we cannot do too much in 3 days, but it's kind of consultation and advice to our friends here. And the small sickness can be treated. But for the bigger things, our doctors can advise what to do next.
55-year-old Joyce Jogo says she has been suffering from ulcers and diabetes for the past 5 years. Jogo says an Indian doctor examined her and prescribed some medicines to treat her illnesses. Speaking in Arabic, Jogo says she was glad to receive free health care from the Indian Association in South Sudan.
People are happy because they have got something for free to help themselves. But if they will treat people every day, it will be better so that it can help the poor.
19-year-old Akwak Peter says he has been living with hepatitis B for more than 2 years and came to the camp to see better medication from the Indian doctors. Peter says he expected more than just being referred to Juba Teaching Hospital for a test.
To me, I think they have been fair, and the problem is that somehow they are not much organized. Otherwise, they would have come with the equipment for all those kinds of tests. Because the statement on the flip chart was that they can do or they can care for all kinds of sicknesses. But to me, things are not the way it has been written there. There are things that they are not doing for now.
Indian nephrologist Suresh Chandra says it is his second time attending a medical camp in South Sudan. He says the doctors are ready and willing to screen and advise the patients they see.
We see patients with diabetes, which is a metabolic disorder. We see a lot of patients with joint problems here because of malnutrition, because of sports injuries, because of inadequate nutrition, they develop that. We see a lot of hepatitis in this country. Besides other common things which everyone can see, common things like common cold, fevers, typhoid, malaria.
Subramoyen Dakiamothi, India's ambassador to South Sudan, says this is the third time the Indian community has organized a free medical camp in South Sudan. He says he understands treatment outside the country can be very expensive, so he's encouraging South Sudanese to take advantage of the free medical camp.
Instead of sending people to India, spending a lot of money on transport, we brought the doctors from India to help our South Sudan friends. Yes, India and South Sudan friendship is very strong and very close also for many years. We realized so many people are suffering in this country for lack of medical facilities. Then we realized this kind of things will definitely help the poor people and needy people.
Mothi says the Indian Embassy and the Indian Association in Juba will organize more free medical camps in South Sudan, but did not specify when or where that will happen. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
Some traditional chiefs in rural counties of South Sudan's Yei River State are accusing county officials of stealing money that was supposed to pay their salaries. Yei River State Governor Emmanuel Adil introduced monthly salaries to all traditional chiefs last year as a way to motivate the chiefs to promote peace and unite communities. Daniel Martin Friday has more for VOA from Yei.
The chiefs say even though Governor Anthony instructed county commissioners to ensure the chiefs are paid each month, some senior county officials did not follow those orders. The Yei River State Ministry stipulated that each paramount chief is to receive 4,201 South Sudanese pounds per month. A head chief earns 3,225,000 South Sudanese pounds, and a Burma executive chief receives 1,500 South Sudanese pounds a month. James Kayaka, the head chief of Mokaya County, says he has not received a salary since July of last year. Speaking in Arabic, Kayaka is calling on the governor to investigate the matter.
They said we have been paid, but our salaries are not reaching us. We want the governor to form a committee to investigate whether the money is reaching us. We don't know whether our money is at the Ministry of Finance, local government, or in the office of the commissioner.
Michael Malis, a sub-chief in Yale River County, says government officials overwork and underpay traditional chiefs. Speaking in Arabic, he says the chiefs believe even though they helped the SPLM during the long civil war with Khartoum, the South Sudan government is now abandoning them.
Even a housekeeper or a compound cleaner is being paid. The governor has said that we shall be paid, but nothing given to us. Since the late Garang signed the peace deal in 2005, we have not seen £1 given to us by the government as an appreciation.
The traditional chiefs say state officials will make sure county authorities do not squander money meant to pay the chiefs. Lona Sadir, the state minister for finance and economic planning, says her ministry has been sending the chief's salaries to the counties each month.
Every month we receive our transfer from Juba, the chiefs get their money through their counties. What I know is that every county we are sending 500,000 for the chiefs, each county, yes, the 13 counties. So it will depend now on the administration how much it allocates that money per each chief. The executive director in the counties, he is the controller of the account, and he has to make sure that all the money which is sent to the counties is accountable.
Amos Longa, the commissioner of Kajokeji County, denies any financial misappropriation in his county, saying the 20 traditional chiefs under his jurisdiction have been paid.
Once this money is transferred to our end, we call them together and we do pay them according to their grades. Nobody is left out, and this one has made the chiefs to be active enough to support in the peace process of the country. So far, we started to pay as from the month of March, May, and June 2018. And it's through the chiefs that things can also be done in a better way.
Longa says his administration is working closely with all chiefs of the various Bomas and Payams in Kajokeji County. Speaking in Arabic during a tour of Morobo County, Governor Adil said chiefs will be paid salaries. He, however, warned the chiefs against taking their salaries and then residing in refugee camps in Uganda and DRC.
We are paying all chiefs up to the Boma level. I also learned that some of you, the chiefs, are receiving salaries and are staying outside the country. We want you to stay close to your people in the community so that we all participate in peace building.
For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin, reporting from Ye Town.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at the number of people displaced by fighting in Cameroon-speaking part.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your definition of the life well lived?
When you accomplish your set goals. Like, for example, when you say, I must finish university, even if you don't work, as long as you're finished, there is no problem. Even if I die today after finishing.
When someone is living a godly way, focused on achieving his or her own goals and trying to be morally upright.
Though it's not everybody that actually have a dream, but there are some this set of people that have a dream and then working towards to achieve that dream.
A life well lived is one where one is able to fulfill his dreams, his aspirations, his goals, all that he wants before he dies.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Cameroonian officials say the number of people displaced by the separatist war in English-speaking regions has dropped dramatically, indicating the government is winning the conflict. But non-governmental organizations say the number has remained steady at 500,000, with a huge majority living in desperate conditions. Muki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
Paul Atanganje, Cameroon's Territorial Administration Minister, says the situation in the northwest and southwest regions has improved greatly and the number of internally displaced people has dropped 70% from its peak of 500,000 early last year.
Statistics from administrative authorities and NGOs working in close collaboration with the government show that there are about 152,000 internally displaced in the two regions. Inflating the number presents another danger which can even jeopardize the sovereignty of the state.
Atanganji said the government has supplied humanitarian aid to 100,000 of the displaced and will eventually reach the other 50,000 living in hard-to-access areas. He dismissed as unfounded local media reports that the aid cannot reach everyone in need because of continued clashes between the military and English-speaking separatists who seek to break away from Cameroon and its French-speaking majority. But NGOs have contested the government's figures. Lawyer Agbobala, founder and executive director of the Center for Human Rights and Democracy in Africa, says NGOs' figures are politically motivated and designed to show the government is resolving the crisis.
We have 600,000 and above, and the UN says it's 500,000 and above, and all credible organizations are above the 500,000 mark. And these are professional organizations which have a history of doing such a job. But be it as it may, well, the focus is to ensure that the necessary aid, food and non-food items, are provided to those who are internally displaced.
Here at the Catholic Hall of the Roman Catholic Church in Bamenda, Christians sing as they receive 35 people who fled clashes last Monday between the military and separatist fighters in the town of Kumbu. Joseph Musa says he escaped with his wife and 6 children after they had counted not less than 11 corpses within a week.
We were caught inside the crossfire. Luckily for us, we know some bush roads, bush tracks. We had to find our way across the bush and streams, even spending some nights in the bush. And we find ourselves in Bamenda, where we are crowded in a small narrow room.
Last week, the Catholic Diocese of Kumbu said it had documented evidence that 385 civilians were killed and 750 houses torched within 7 months in Kumbu alone, and youths had deserted most villages, leaving only the very old. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
From Yaoundé, we go to Blantyre, where floodwaters from Cyclone Idai killed at least 800 people when the storm hit Mozambique, Zimbabwe, and Malawi last month. Hundreds of thousands of people were safely evacuated, but countless farm animals were lost. The livestock that survived, key to many people's welfare, are vulnerable to disease. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre that the international animal welfare charity World Animal Protection is working to save tens of thousands of farm animals at risk in southern Malawi.
Floodwaters from Cyclone Idai in early March forced thousands of people in southern Malawi into evacuation camps, but their animals, including cattle, goats, pigs and chickens, were left to fend for themselves. Authorities say at least 15,000 farm animals were killed in the floods. In the West Hitchire Valley area, more than 4,000 farm animals were washed away. Edwin Kulungo is the area's chief animal health and livestock development officer. He says the flooding also exposes the surviving animals to diseases.
During the time of this flood, most animals' collars are flooded and there's mud. And we end up having animals staying in the mud overnight and days. And this brings disease, wounds such as foot rot. And during this time, there's a lot of build-up of insects which end up biting the animals and transmitting disease from one animal to another.
The charity World Animal Protection is working in flood-hit areas of Malawi to stop the spread of disease among livestock. The group's disaster response officer to Africa, Victor Dorotichi, says they are supplying much needed medicine and vaccines.
Basically, what they're doing is we provide treatment to animals that are sick. We also do control of internal and external parasites and also provide some medication for food conditions.
Torotichi says they worked with the veterinary department of Malawi's Ministry of Agriculture to so far treat about 30,000 farm animals. But veterinarian Nkulungo says the program has struggled for access because of damaged roads and bridges. This has left many flood-affected animals without needed medical care.
Especially areas like in Makanga, whereby we couldn't manage to pass. If ever we have to use the other road, but that road again, Eastern Bank, most of the rivers, there's a lot of water, we couldn't pass.
Malawi's livestock farmers in East Bank, like Lakson Moffat, say their animals need more help.
Ngakhale za joga kupita kuntunda zili pa yopheza zoti zikhoza kuyamba kudwala
kumaso. He says although they have managed to transfer them to higher ground, there is high risk of developing foot and mouth disease and eventually infecting others. We are appealing to well-wishers who bring relief items here to also bring some free medication for these animals, says Moffat. Malawi's veterinary department says it will bring more medicines to animals in hard-to-reach areas once flood waters recede. Meanwhile, Wild Animal Protection says it will soon begin treating livestock in neighboring Zimbabwe and Mozambique, where Cyclone Idai hit first. The tropical storm was the worst to hit southern Africa in decades, killing hundreds of people and swamping entire villages. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blanta.
That story by Lamek from Blanta brings us to the end of our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Achanikai Kimia by Diamond.
Mana nambia nasibu mini mtu mzima na wendo na kutegemea. Yanotokea jaribu kupiga kimya usidiriki hata kuongea. Mara nasikia vya aibu konda kwa jima eti ugomvi umekolea. Kuchunguza karibu ni binti moja kwa mitandao anachochea. Najaribu kunyamaza ila moyo utaki. Unanambia tisimba japunguruma uiseme haki. Unajaribu kunyamaza hata laiza tagio. Anasema wala unena kidogo na mashabiki dangote. Wananambia mbona usemi chochote. Siuko na usiku zote ama ulezi nafanya uogope. Na media pande zote wanalalama kiongozi atoke. Nchi naingia matope, niende wapi na mimi mtoto wote. Yani lawama nichonge kimya. Ninyamaze mimi nisiseme kimya. Mama kanambia nifunge mdomo kimya. Nipate mdogo sana nisiseme kimya. Majaribu na jitahidi epuka ya sijeni kosti. Japo mingine swadakta mingine ayana manu. Rafiki kipenzi wakaribu.
We've been listening to Diamond with his song Achanikai Kimia, which literally means let me be silent. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Have a safe and peaceful weekend. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Mara kimbebe dodoma, unge pinza nione goma, juzi akapotea na Roma. Oh, Tanzania, najaribu kunyamaza, makame atakio. Ananambia wala unena kidogo. Nyumba ninafungua geti, ende kwa mangi nunua supageti.